ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। हरे कृष्ण। सो टुमारो इज श्री श्री राम नवमी, श्री रामचंद्र's appearance day. Therefore, today we decided to discuss about Lord Ramchandra, his pastime and purpose of his appearance. In India, everyone knows Ramayana. I don't know about now, but when I was young, I used to hear Ramayana from the elders of the family. And I remember there used to be a big Ramayana, fat and big one, with many, many pictures. Although I couldn't read at that time, I used to go through those pictures. And just by seeing the pictures and hearing those stories, I became acquainted with Ramayana and also Mahabharata from a childhood. Maybe time has changed now in last 50-60 years, but it is very important that we grow up with these understanding of the scriptures. And it's very interesting actually, like I think it's with everybody. Everybody likes to hear stories, especially children. Love to hear stories. And these are the most fascinating stories. Ramayana and Mahabharata, although they are scriptures, but these scriptures are presented in such a way that everybody becomes fascinated to hear that. After all, what is scriptures? The scriptures is Krishna Katha, the activities about the Supreme Personality of God. Jai Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Lalita Vishakha Devi ki jai. Jai Shri Gaunitai ki jai. Shri La Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Ramachandra ki jai. And also when I was young, one very popular song was Raghupati Raghava Rajaram. That was popularized by Mahatma Gandhi. He added a few things on his own, but the general song is Raghupati Raghava Rajaram, Patita Pavana Sitaram. Then he added things like Ishwara Allah Tere Naam Sabko Sanmati De Bhagavan. It's alright, it's nothing wrong. It's true, Ishwar and Allah is your name. And Sabko Sanmati De Bhagavan, give everybody the right kind of consciousness. And what is the benefit of hearing these stories from the childhood? One thing is that we get a very clear understanding who is God. When I reflect about my past, then I can see that when I was young, I did not have any confusion or any doubt in my mind that Ramchandra and Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The trouble started when I grew up and started to read different other books on Vedic philosophy and culture. And there all these misconceptions started to creep in. That misconception of impersonalism. And it is so expertly presented that it actually bewilders. Even though one may have a deep-rooted faith, it bewilders one because one begins to think that maybe this is true. And what is the misconception? Ultimately, the absolute, supreme absolute, is Brahman. And these incarnations are actually the Brahma's manifestation in the mode of goodness. Brahma's manifestation in the mode of goodness in the material nature are the incarnations. And Brahma's manifestation in the mode of passion and ignorance are the jivas. So jiva, incarnations and Brahman. When as long as they are in the mode of ignorance and passion, they are jivas. When they transcend the mode of ignorance and passion, they become God. And when they transcend, are influenced by the mode of goodness, it's God. And when they transcend even the mode of goodness and go beyond material nature, it is Brahman. Isn't it quite convincing? Or I would say, isn't it quite bewildering? It's bewilderingly convincing. Or convincingly bewildering. We are actually very fortunate that we came across Srila Prabhupada and his teachings. That's why all it needed is just to come in contact with Srila Prabhupada's books. I got the Nectar of Devotion. I was very fortunate to get the Nectar of Devotion. And from the very first page, what did I learn? What did I understand? Krishna is God. And what is liberation? There are five kinds of liberation. The Mayavadis talk about liberation, but here, Prabhupada gives a very clear concept of liberation. Mayavadis just speak of liberation and they say the ultimate goal of life is to achieve liberation, to attain liberation. Mukti, moksha. And their understanding of mukti or liberation is to merge in Brahman. Quite a difficult job, because before you get liberated, you have to become God. You are a jiva because you are in the mode of ignorance and passion. You transcend the mode of ignorance and passion and come to the mode of goodness, then you'll become God. So, according to these Mayavadis, all the sannyasis are God, Narayana. Because they have transcended the mode of passion and ignorance and they have come to the mode of goodness. So they are God. Narayana. Of course, there is another kind of Mayavadis. They say, not only the people in the mode of goodness are God, but in order to become God, you can develop another quality. That is, you have to become poor. Then you'll become God. Daridra Narayan. So become poor, you'll become God. And if you're rich, you're a demon. But at the same time, they go to the rich people with a begging bowl and say, give us some money so that we can enjoy. So India is actually in a very, very confused state as far as the spiritual understanding goes. But Srila Prabhupada, right at the beginning of the Nectar of Devotion, pointed out, Krishna is God. And at least with me, it just dawned at that time. Wow, I knew it all this while. I knew it all this while. At least from my childhood, I knew that Krishna is God. Only when I grew up, I became confused. And I begin to see the contaminating effect of Mayavad doctrines. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warned, Mayavadir bhashya shunile hoy sarvanash. Don't listen to the Mayavadi's commentaries. Because if you listen to the Mayavadi's commentaries, then everything will be lost. You'll be doomed. Sarvanash. Anyway, we are very fortunate that we came across Srila Prabhupada and his teachings. Srila Prabhupada gave us everything, the perfect understanding. Sometimes people think, I saw myself in Bombay when Prabhupada was giving the lecture in Cross Maidan in 1977. One person was very vehemently challenging Prabhupada. That why you worship only Krishna, why don't you worship Ram? Prabhupada explained, no. We chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. So we are worshipping Ram. Who says we don't worship Ram? So the man kept on insisting. Those days in Bombay temple was not complete. And we didn't have the deities of Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman, which we have now. So this person was challenging. Why don't you worship Ram? Why do you worship only Krishna, Radha Krishna? But the thing is, we are not only devotees of Krishna, we are devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and all His incarnations. Rama dimurti shukala niyamena tishthan. Nana avataram akarut bhuvaneshu kintu Krishna swayam samabhavat paramah pumanjo Govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. Ramadi murtishu kala niyamena tishthan. Ramchandra, Ram, Adi murtishu, all these incarnations are the expansions of Krishna. Kala niyamena tishthan. Nana avataram akarod. He expanded himself into many, many incarnations. Nana avataram akarod. Bhuvaneshu. In these incarnations, he descends to this material nature. But Krishna swayam samabhavat paramo pumanjo. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Because Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the original Personality of Godhead. Deeparchi deva hi dasantaram appupetya deepayate vibrita hetu samana dharma. Just as many lamps are lit from one original lamp, but after the lamps are lit, they give out the same amount of light and heat. They're equal in all respects. But still, the original lamp from which all the other lamps were lit is the original lamp. So that is how Krishna is different from the incarnation. is not different, it's same personality. There's no difference between Krishna and his incarnation. In this respect, Prabhupada gives the example that a high court judge, in the court he is seen in a certain way. He is addressed in a certain way. My Lord, Your Honor. And everyone is very respectful towards him. Then he goes to his club after the court. In the club, his other compatriots, his other friends treat him in some other way. They don't treat him in the same way as he is treated in the court. And then he goes home. And there, they treat him, his mother, his father, his wife, his children, they treat him in another way. So the treatment and appearance and even the names may differ in different places, but it is the same personality. In the court, he is addressed as my Lord. In the club, by his friends and other acquaintances, he is addressed as, oh, Justice so and so. Justice. Or they sometimes may even call him by his name. But at home, does anyone call him my Lord? At home, does anyone call him Justice? At home, hey Munna. The father, mother calling him. His wife is calling him another way. His children are calling him Daddy, Daddy. Or Pitaji, Abba. So the same personality in three different places appears to be in three different ways. But he is the same personality. Now, will anybody say that the person in the court is different from the person in the club? Or person in the club is different from the person at home? No. So similarly, it's the same personality manifests himself in different ways. So, and there are two differences that we can consider. One is, he is the original personality of Godhead, from whom he is the original and he expands in his swamsa. Similar expansion. He himself expands. Krishna expands to Balaram. Balaram expands to Sankarshan. Sankarshan expands to Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu expands to Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. Garbhodakshayi Vishnu expands to Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. Expands into the Super Soul. Expands into different incarnations. Same personality. Is the Super Soul in the heart of every living entity different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead? No. Same personality. That is what we have to understand. And when we understand that, then everything will become clear. And that's what Srila Prabhupada is giving us. He is giving us the perfect understanding. Who is God? Who is God? Is he an expansion of or manifestation of Brahma Jyoti in the mode of goodness? No. Rather, Brahma Jyoti is his bodily effulgence. Brahma Jyoti is his bodily effulgence. Brahma Jyoti is Brahma, but he is the origin of Brahma. Brahmano hi pratishtaham. Pratishtha, he is the origin from whom Brahma actually becomes manifest. Yes, Brahman is there, but he is Parabrahma. He is the supreme Brahma. So why get stuck with just Brahma? Go into Parabrahma. Brahma is the energy. He is the energetic. Can energy exist without energetic? No. Energy may be without form, but energetic is a person, is with form. Very, very clear and elaborate understanding that we have. Why does he come? He comes to display, he comes to accomplish certain purpose. In this material nature, when there is a chaotic situation is created, when the law and order is broken, then he comes to establish the law and order. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharatah abhuthanam adharmasya tadatmanam shijammah. What is dharma? Dharma is the law and order. Dharma is law. Laws given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dharmam tu shakshad bhagavat pranitam. Dharma is the law given by the Lord. And when there is a law, that law must be abided by. Then only there will be peaceful situation in the society. When people abide by law, then what happens? Then everything goes perfectly. But when people break the law and order, then what happens? There will be chaos. Like we see that in Indian cities, like especially in cities like Calcutta. For example, the traffic is meant to go in a certain way. In certain direction. If the traffic flows in that direction, then there won't be any problem. All the cars can move at a very high speed. But if the traffic doesn't follow the law, then what happens? The traffic rule is when it's red light, the cars must stop. When there's green light, the cars can go. But if they don't follow this law, like people say, well, I don't care whether it's red light or green light, I need to go, so let me go. So what will happen? It goes through red light and somebody comes from the other road and bang, accident. Or at least, if not accident, a traffic jam. The green light, the road on the green light, the cars are supposed to move and the one from the red light just comes in the middle of the road. At least, if there is no accident, it will stop, and then what will happen? All the other cars will get stuck. Actually, we can see the result of not abiding by the law and order, especially in countries like India. Democracy has done one thing. Everybody is a king, everybody is a kingmaker, everybody is a lawmaker, so there is no need to abide by the law. Even the police don't abide by the law. And the result is chaos. Now that is the meaning of dharmasya glani. When the people don't abide by the law and order, there is chaos. And then Krishna has to come. Dharma sangsthapanarthaya. In order to establish dharma, in order to establish the law and order, he has to come. Sambhavami yuge yuge. And he came. In Treta Yuga he came as Lord Ramchandra. He appeared in the Raghuvamsa. He appeared in the Raghuvamsa. Therefore, he is known as Raghupati, as we sing, saying, Raghupati Raghava Rajaram. A Raghuvir, a Raghava. Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Lalita Vishaka Devi Ki. Jai Shri Shri Gaurnikai Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Shri Ramachandra Ki. So Shri Ramachandra appeared, although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he comes. Sometimes he takes birth, especially when he performs his pastimes as a human being. He takes birth, because for human being to come here, he has to take birth. But not that he has to always take birth. Sometimes he comes as Nrisingadev. Did he born from father and mother? No. Where did he come from? He came from a pillar. Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad, where is your Hari? Where is your Narayan? Prahlad said, Hari is everywhere. Then Hiranyakashipu asked, is your Hari there in this pillar? He said, yes, he is in this pillar also. So Hiranyakashipu immediately went and with his bare hand, he just struck the pillar. And the pillar collapsed, broke. It's a stone pillar, huge, massive pillar. That shows how powerful he was. But then, from the pillar, a very strange personality appeared, who had the head of a lion and the body of a man. Then some other times also the Lord appears from, He appeared from the nostril of Brahma. One day from the nostril of Brahma, a small little boar came out. And he became bigger and bigger and bigger. It became so big that it dove into the lower planetary system, Garbha Ocean, and picked up the Earth planet on his tusk. The entire planet was picked up by this boar. Barahadev. Bashoti dashana shikhare dharani tava lagna shoshini kalanko kaleva nimagna keshava dhrita shukara rupa jaya jagadisha hari. Keshava assumed the form of a boar in order to rescue the earth planet. He appeared as a fish to Satyavrata Muni, to King Satyavrata. So he can come. Sometimes he comes directly. Dwarka se chale Gopal, Garuda ke bichare, Chakra se graha kamari, Gajaraj ko udhare. So Dwarka se chale Gopal, he went straight from Dwarka. When Gajendra, the king of the elephants, offered prayers, just when he thought that he was about to leave his body, when he was about to die, then he appeared. Gopal came directly from Dwarka, and Chakra se graha kamari Gajaraj ko udhare. He killed the graha, the crocodile, with his chakra, with his disc, and rescued Gajendra. In this way, the Lord can appear in so many different ways. So he appeared as Lord Ramchandra. Lord Ramchandra is the Maryada Purushottam. He came to establish the Maryada, the law, the standard of following the Dharma. Dharmasya glani, disregard of Dharma, but now he came to re-establish the Dharma, to establish the Maryada of Dharma. Maryada of following the scriptures, Maryada of following the law and order. Therefore, Lord Ramchandra, in his pastimes, is very strict. He did not, in any occasion, he disregarded the tenets of the scriptures. Whereas Krishna is the Leela Purushottam. He is just performing his pastimes in order to give pleasure to his devotees and in order to enjoy the bliss of this loving exchange. Krishna doesn't care what people will think. Krishna is not concerned about the moral codes. That's the difference between Lord Ramchandra's pastimes and Krishna Chandra's pastimes. Lord Ramchandra is married to just one wife, Sita Devi. That's it. Although the Kshatriyas could marry more than one wife, but Lord Ramchandra came to establish the perfect standard, so he would not marry other women. And whereas Krishna married to 16,000 wives. Not only six, not even 16,000, 16,108 queens. And at least in Dwarka he got married. In Vrindavan he didn't even bother to get married. He's dancing with a whole lot of unmarried girls and even girls, those who are married to others. But is there anything immoral? Where is the current consideration of immoral with the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Like if somebody enjoys his own property, can there be anything wrong in that? Now, isn't Krishna the supreme proprietor of everything and everybody? So if Krishna enjoys, then what's the harm? As it is, he is situated in everyone's heart. So he is most intimately related to everybody in any case. So if he has some dealings with somebody, what can be wrong about that? Because he is the supreme proprietor, everything belongs to. Like, there's a consideration, like, Krishna is dancing with the gopis. Now, what to speak of the gopis being Krishna's property? Gopis' husbands, gopis' father, gopis' mother, they all are Krishna's property. So Krishna in that sense is not only the husband of the gopis, but he was also the husbands of the husbands of the gopis. Because the word husband means a proprietor. But common people may not understand that. Therefore, Krishna's pastimes are kept carefully. Therefore, it has been thoroughly instructed, don't delve into Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes without proper guidance, without proper understanding, because, you know, it may be confusing, it may be misleading. And that's why it's also said, Krishna's pastimes shouldn't be imitated. We won't be able to imitate Krishna's pastimes. If you want to imitate any pastimes, okay, imitate Lord Ramchandra's pastimes. Because he is the Maryada Purushottam. Imitate his pastimes, because he has come to establish the proper standard. So, and that's why Lord Ramchandra's pastimes also can appear to be confusing. People sometimes question, why Lord Ramchandra banished Sita Devi? It's so cruel. He banished Sita Devi. And at that time Sita Devi was pregnant. And also because some weird washerman expressed some doubts about Sita's character. And as a result of that, Ramchandra's character was questioned. The man actually said that, do you think I am like Ram? You will have, you will fool around with other people and I will still accept you? I'll banish you. His point was that Sita was kidnapped by Ravan. Who knows what Ravan did to her, and still Ram accepted. Already Ramchandra has taken precaution about that. Before accepting Sita, Sita was tested in fire, Agni Pariksha. And when she went through that test, then only Ramchandra accepted her. Of course, again we have to remember that these are the pastimes of the Lord. Pastimes are like a play on a stage. It's a play. Lord is playing a drama on this stage of this planet. And if in a drama, there must be in drama there are various aspects that must be there. The exchange of mellows. The dramas are mainly, drama means conflict. Drama means exchange of mellows. Like there are, those mellows must be churned. Especially the secondary mellows. There are principal mellows, five principal mellows. Those mellows are Shanta, Dasya, Sakha, Vatsalya and Madhur. Neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parental and conjugal. These are five principal mellows. And then there are seven secondary mellows. Harsho, Adbhut, Bir, Raudra, Bibhatsa, Vayanak, Karun. Harsha, humor. Adbhut, wonder, surprise. Vira, chivalry. Raudra, anger. Bibhatsa, ghastly. Bhayanak, frightening, and Korun, pathos. So more these mellows are churned, the better becomes a drama. In dramas you'll find humor. There's some comedians, they can't make you laugh. Then in drama there must be surprise. surprise. The heroine is thrown from the skyscraper. And then just Superman comes and catches her mid-air. And everyone gets so excited. Wow! Surprise. Everybody was thinking, oh, now she is finished. She will die. She is falling on top of the, from the top of the Empire State Building. But Superman came just flying in. Veera, chivalry. That chivalry, the hero is so powerful, the damsel in distress, the hero just goes and beats up all the miscreants who are causing trouble. 25 of them, and he alone just finishes them off. Or Rambo. And so these are the, and so one of them is Korun, the pathos. Lord Ramchandra is playing in such a way that people cannot restrain their tears. Their heart breaks when Ramchandra is sending Sita away. Sita didn't know that she was being sent away. Ramchandra told Lakshman that you go send Sita to the hermitage. One day, Ramchandra was passing by the hermitage on the bank of the Saraju River, and Sita expressed her delight in seeing the beautiful atmosphere of the hermitage. So beautiful garden atmosphere with huts, cottages on the bank of the river where the sages are practicing their spiritual life. So Ram told Lakshman, just take her to the hermitage because she wanted to and just leave her there. Sita didn't know that she was being banished like that. Now, does it mean that Ramchandra was cruel? No. Ramchandra was so attached to Sita. This is also his pastimes. When Sita was kidnapped by Ravan, Ram was crying like a little child. Was crying. Now, sometimes people may wonder why God is crying like that. Therefore, it is important to understand that these are the pastimes. He is playing the role. Although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is acting like a human being. To teach the human beings how to behave. To teach the human beings what to be like. Also when Meghnad Indrajit brought a Maya Sita, he created a Maya Sita and brought her to in front of Lord Ramchandra in his chariot, and with his sword he just cut her head off. And then Ram said, now he was so heartbroken, he said, now what's the use of fighting? Sita is dead. All this struggle was to rescue Sita, now Sita is killed. So, what's the point in fighting? Ram stopped to fight. But Vibhishan told him, look, this is Indrajit's magic. He just created that illusion. It's not Sita, it's a Maya Sita, illusory Sita. Then Ramchandra said, again, how can the Supreme Personality of Godhead be bewildered like that? Well, again, it's a pastime. So Ramchandra told Bibhishan, that Bibhishan, how can one create something, an illusory form, which is exactly like Sita? So this must be Sita. Don't try to console me. Indrajit has killed Sita. Then Bibhishan reasoned with him. He said, look, what to speak of creating that illusion, actually from the sacrifice, from Yajna, you know, the similar form can be created. You look exactly the same. But still Ram wouldn't listen. So Bibhishan said, okay, I will prove, I'll show it to you. So right there, the arrangement was made to make a sacrifice. Yajna Kunda, like Bibhishan told Hanuman, get some firewood. So Hanuman got tons and tons of sandalwood for the sacrifice, just in no time. And Bibhishan made Lakshman, the hota, the performer of the sacrifice. And Lakshman was performing the sacrifice. Then Agnidev came. So Agnidev appeared there from the sacrificial fire and said, tell me, what can I do for you? What do you want? I am prepared to do anything that you want. Bibhishan said, I don't want anything. I simply wanted to show Ram that how from the sacrificial fire the same form can appear. Identical form. Then Agnidev said, okay. So he said, create the form of Sita. So he didn't create only one Sita, he created 8 Sitas from that fire. Then he expanded into another 108 forms, multiplied by 108. And then multiplied by another 125. 16,000. So 16,000 Sitas appeared. Looks exactly the same, with the same complexion, with the same features. Now, when they came out of the fire, they wanted to accept Lord Ramchandra as their husband, these 16,000 Maya Sitas. They were just about to accept Lord Ramchandra as their husband. Ramchandra said, look, in these pastimes I won't have more than one wife. But in the next pastimes, when I come, then I'll accept you as my wives. So they asked, where should we go? And they said that you appear as the, you take shelter of different kings as their daughters. And then Narakasura will kidnap you. And I will rescue you in my next pastimes, and then I'll marry you. So these are the 16,000 queens in Krishna's pastimes. So these dramas are so well enacted that there is no loophole left. Everything is perfectly organized. So this is how the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes to establish law and order, and he performs his pastimes in such a way that it churns all our emotions in such a way that sometimes our heart breaks in pathos, in Karun Rush. And sometimes our blood starts to boil in Vira Rasa. And sometimes our eyes pop out of their sockets out of Ashcharya, surprise, Adbhut, a wonder. So this is how the Supreme Personality of Godhead performs his pastimes as he did as Lord Ramchandra. Hare Krishna, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari. Does anybody have any question?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, you explained how the Lord actually churns the emotions of the devotees. So we can see similarly in the Lord as well as in the devotees also. They said that the devotees, we know that the devotees are under the protection of the Lord. The Lord is always taking care of them in the most wonderful way. Yet when we see the devotees are in certain situations which are, when we see, as you said, it creates pathos. And both the understandings are there. Sometimes we feel heartbroken and sometimes we also have the feeling that Krishna is protecting. But we can't be generalist or philosophical all the time. So we feel the pain that they are feeling. So how do we react in such situations? Should we lose the faith that Krishna will protect? We can't. At the same time, we can't think that, you know, we can't be, too philosophical that, okay, let Krishna do it and I'm not concerned.
Therefore, one has to surrender himself to the will of the Lord. Just surrender to the will of the Lord. He will protect, but sometimes his protection will come in such a way that not only the devotee will be surprised, but the whole world becomes surprised. Like for example, Haridas Thakur being beaten in 22 marketplaces. And not only beaten, but he was mercilessly beaten. One would die just from the beating of one place, one marketplace. But he is beaten up in 22 marketplaces. But he just kept on chanting. He didn't stop chanting. As if he is not affected by the beating at all. And that's what happens. Apparently he is being beaten. But it's not, the beating is not affecting him. He is not feeling the pain. So tell me, is there anything undesirable in the beating if somebody beats you up and you don't feel the pain? So what do you care about that beating? So sometimes the Lord puts us in a difficult situation, but then He rescues us. Isn't the glory of that rescue is much greater if it is in the face of a great difficulty and great danger? Right? If somebody catches you when you are just about to sleep on the floor, will anybody pay any heed to that? Will anyone think there is anything great about it? No. But if somebody throws you from the mountaintop, right? And then somebody catches you, and you just land unharmed, won't that be 1,000 times more exciting? So that's what Krishna does. Krishna puts us through difficulties or puts us through danger, but saves us from that difficulty and danger. Sometimes it can be described like Krishna's dealings with his devotees is something like the father while playing with the baby. Throws the baby on the air, isn't it? And when it happens, the baby actually becomes afraid, right? And then the father catches the baby midair. Then both the baby and the father start to laugh. So that is how Krishna actually deals with his devotees. at times. Yes. Okay, let Sharad ask and then I'll take Sandarati's question.
Krishna. Maharaj, like you mentioned about the concept of Daridra Narayan, you know, people have their own self-proclaimed ideas of understanding of the Lord. So, to add to that, Maharaj, we also see that within our society also, there are many, many welfare, social welfare organizations. For example, Mother Teresa, you know, she would say that in every, you know, poor or, you know, helpless person, she would see Jesus. So we have many, many, in our Vedic society, we see that there were many, many ladies like Sati and, you know, Gandhari, who served their husbands so selflessly. They did not even care about their own well-being. So, Maharaj, my question is that selflessness is one of the important, I mean, it is what defines love, selfless service. Like Prabhupada also said, devotion means devotional service. So love, to my understanding, it means serving also. So how is it that, how can we understand that love, it only means, you know, it's only for Krishna. Whereas we see that, you know, love, you know, in the form of selfless service being shown in our society, you know, Vedic society and, you know, community at large also. So how we can say that it is only for Krishna?
Yeah, these good qualities are appreciated. Compassion, mercy, kindness, selflessness. They're good, but they're not the best. Right? Because they're relative. You are doing something good, but are you really helping them? Like, since you brought up the question of Mother Teresa, what was she doing? She was taking these poor people from the streets and feeding them. But what was she feeding them? She was feeding them beef. People who would otherwise, you know, remain strongly, you know, situated in the Hindu custom and remain vegetarians, you know, they're being treated with meat. Now maybe their stomach is satisfied for the time being, but what is happening to their soul? Right? So taking care of the body is one thing, but the ultimate consideration is to take care of the soul. And another example in that respect must be given also, that when somebody is doing the benefit, must know what he is doing. Just, you know, reacting to some immediate, you know, response is not, or responding to some immediate perception is not always the wisest thing to do. Like, for example, say, when one gets typhoid. Say a boy, little boy, got typhoid. Now, when you get typhoid, the doctor says that shouldn't be given any food to him. You know, don't give any food, just give him the medicine. Right? Now the boy is crying. I'm hungry, give me some food. I'm hungry, give me some food. The parents, you know, following the instruction of the doctor, is not giving him food. But the neighbor says, look, you know, how cruel the parents are. This boy is crying for food and not giving the food. And they come and give him all kinds of food. Now what happens at the end? The poor guy dies. Now is it really benefiting them? Is it really para upakar? No. So we must understand what is the ultimate solution to the problems. Before we try to benefit others, what we must understand what is their problem and how to solve the problem. Right? Another example can be given. A person has committed a crime and the king has put him into the prison to rectify his consciousness and also relieve him of the reaction of bad karma. He is being punished in the prison. But somebody comes and helps him to go out of the prison. Is he really helping him? No. On the other hand, when we do the things in the right way, then everybody actually benefits. Like for example, paro upakar. So even if you consider feeding the hungry is an act of benevolence, then you offer food to Krishna and then distribute the prasad to all the hungry people. It's not that when you serve Krishna, the hungry people starve, right? When you serve Krishna, everybody becomes satisfied. The poor and hungry people get their food. Whatever somebody needs, he gets it, you know, because when you serve Krishna, everybody is served. Just like when the body is served, every part of the body derives the benefit. Like for example, you take the food and if the finger says, this is my food, I'm not going to give it to anybody. Right? Or you take the food and say, okay, the food should be given to the poor. Look at the condition of the feet. It has become so emaciated, so you put the food to the feet. Will the feet become healthy and strong? No. You take the food, give it to the mouth gives it to the stomach, then the whole body becomes satisfied and healthy. So that is what Krishna consciousness is. You serve Krishna, everybody will be served. You love Krishna, that love will be reflected into every part and parcel of Krishna. And that's where Krishna consciousness is all perfect. Sandarati.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. At the beginning you were speaking about incarnations and expansions. I have a question, I'm getting confused. What is the exact definition of expansion and what is exact an incarnation? And the expansions, partial and total expansion?
No difference. Expansion. Krishna expands in his own original form. That is called his expansion. Right? These expansions, each and every one is same as Krishna. No difference. But when they come down to the earth planet or material nature to achieve certain things or to establish law and order, dharma, then they are called incarnation. Incarnate. Incarnate. To come here to achieve certain mission.
So you can say that every incarnation is getting another form and every expansion is the same form as original Krishna?
No, it's the same. There are different classifications. Vaibhav Prakash, there is expansion of the same personality, but his complexion may be different, like in Balaram. Same Krishna, but as Balaram, he is white. Vasudev, same Krishna, same feature, color also is the same, but there he is not displaying all his 64 qualities. As Vasudev, he is displaying his 60 qualities. Or Narayan and so forth. Then there is Prabhav and Vaibhav Vilash. This way there are different you know, expansions, but there is some little difference at the same time. Sometimes the form can be, again, form can be completely different. To achieve certain, where in incarnation, to achieve the mission in a certain way, he assumes a form according to the need. Like for example, Hiranyakashipu was given the benediction that he'll not be killed by a man or an animal or a demigod or so forth. So no man can kill him, no animal can kill him, no demigods can kill him. So what to do? The Lord assumed the form of Nrisingadev, where he is neither animal nor man. Right? To defeat that condition. Okay. Or the earth fell into a dirty place. Now, in order to rescue the earth, the Lord assumed the form of a boar. The boar goes to a dirty place. So he assumed that form and rescued, in order to rescue the earth. Yes, Mithai Chandra.
Hare Krishna. In the beginning of the class, you mentioned about the importance of growing up with the proper understanding of the scriptures and how the those impressions are very like a kind of foundation for life. Mm. So, if we see in like Indian society that you know the very popular serial Ramayana which came up. So, if we see today's, so people, like it was very attractive because firstly it was like the television was new and people were basically attracted to it and they saw it in great detail. So, in today's time if you see that, you know, now the society has become so degraded but still like this positive aspect is there that, the Indian society that they have these impressions. So if we can in regards to like preaching, if we can, you know, kind of remind them of these things, so like people are very much attracted to Lord Ramchandra because of, you know, they're watching the serial or this is, so if we can just remind them of this, so will that be effective?
Sure.
Maharaj.
And that's your business. To preach means to remind people what to do and what not to do. Isn't it? Do the right thing and not do the wrong thing. That's what this preaching is.
Maharaj, just a second part to my question. Like you see that Srila Prabhupada, he wrote the purports of the Bhagavatam based on the commentaries of the Acharyas. So, is there a bona fide commentary on Ramayana by the previous acharyas? Because we see that there's a lot of confusion between, you know, what is the, like there are some commentaries which are...
Actually, we in ISKCON don't really delve so much into Ramayana. And Ramayana also doesn't need much of a commentary because everything is so... well situated in the concept of morality. That, you know, there is no need to explain. Like why, say for example, why one should be married only to one wife. Does it need any explanation? Right? Or, why Ram killed Ravan? Doesn't need much explanation. But why Krishna was dancing with the unmarried girls in Vrindavan, it does need explanation. Right? So these are the... And of course, the scriptures always has to be studied under the guidance of a qualified teacher. Any subject has to be studied under the guidance of a qualified teacher. What to speak of scriptures. But at the same time, if you accept the scriptures with simple faith, there is no need to have much of an explanation. But only when, you know, we become complex, our thought process become complex, and it needs explanation. Simple faith doesn't need explanation. Then you take it the way Vasudev presented it. The trouble starts when we become complex. We don't really want to accept things in a simple way. The thing is that shows, you know, how stupid the scholars are. Because, you see, it's not that to a wise person you need an elaborate explanation. It's to an ignorant person that you need elaborate explanation, isn't it? Now, when it takes so much explanation needed for the scholars, that actually shows that they are not scholars, they are idiots. They are fools. They are ignorants. Therefore, you have to, it takes a lot of trouble to remove their ignorance actually. Their ignorance is so thick, it takes a lot of endeavor to remove it. For a simple person, you know, like, apparently he is simple, but you know, he accepts it with faith. So who is wiser? Person who is faithless or the person with faith? A real wise person is the one with faith. Because his wisdom is that scriptures must be accepted as it is. Don't have any doubts. Therefore, Krishna is also saying, janma karma chame divyam evam javetti tattvatah takta deham punar janma naiti mameti shvarjana. When one understands that my birth and my activities are divine, he doesn't have to take birth again after he leaves his body. It means that those who have implicit faith, they will receive the mercy very easily. Yes, Vaishnav Charan. So as I said, he came to establish the marjada of dharma. Now, are the demigods to be worshipped? Or they shouldn't be worshipped? Should they be respected? Should a respectable person be respected? Should a great person be worshipped? Yeah, so he is setting the standard. The great personalities. So you learn to worship them. There's a question at the back. Give him the mic.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Guruji, I always found some hypocritic person. They don't want to break their hypocrisy. So how can we keep away from this hypocrisy ourselves?
Well, use your intelligence. And if you see that someone is hypocritical, then why should you go to him?
No, because of that hypocritic person, we got cheated.
Don't get cheated again. Right? Once bitten, twice shy. Once you got cheated, don't go to him again. Because he'll cheat. If you know that he's a cheat, so why go to him again? And, you know, like, if he cheated you, just recognize that, well, you learnt your lesson. and not get cheated again. Not only by him, not by anybody. So now you learned who is a hypocrite, who is a liar. So why should you go to a hypocrite? Why should you go to a liar? Go to a person who is honest, who is genuine. And if you approach a person like that, you'll derive the real benefit from that person. Right? Thank you. Okay, I'll stop now. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande.